I've known Tony Adams for 30-some years. Tony, remind me, what were we at with you? Were you about 25 years with the Minneapolis police? It was right around there, right?
30 years.
30.
Yeah, don't take five away from me.
Yeah. this is my friend Tony Adams. 30 years with the Minneapolis police, like all our guests, like Belsky was. He's on the John Schuster Caldwell Banger Hotline. Let's get into the controversy, the discussion which has come up before. ShotSpotter. Okay, you can explain it better than I can. If somebody's listening, plenty of people listening know what ShotSpotter is, but why don't you explain it for the folks who aren't as aware?
Well, Chad, I mean, it breaks down to it's set up with microphones, cameras, whatever you have in different communities that be able to triangulate where the shot's coming from and kind of pinpoint a location to where the shot's coming from. So as me and you talked about before, I've worked with ShotSpotter, or I was on the patrol squad when we had to use it, and I thought it was very effective in helping solve crimes.
So we have 7 miles already in Minneapolis. The proposal would provide more on the south side, 2 extra miles. When folks are saying that it's providing information and shots that don't match up. In fact, I'll give you the data here. Minneapolis, an examination of the 4,100 police responses to ShotSpotter's activation throughout 2022 showed about 70% with dispositions indicating police didn't encounter anything. No victims, shell casing, or physical evidence of shooting. So people see this and say, now, wait a second. If it's 70% of the time that we don't have something, should we spend as much money as we do on this? You say what?
Yeah, that's a big number, but where does that number come from? Is it coming from a patrolman or a patrol person hitting a button on the computer saying that they recovered something or did not recover something? Because I can tell you in cases that we've had in the past or that I was a part of an investigation where there were shootings at scenes, you know, you can always go out the very next day and find casings either hiding up under grass, hiding up under paper, hiding in the leaves or something to that effect. So did that officer get out of the car and do an effective investigation to determine whether there is any casings left behind or not? And if you talk to a lot of investigators, they're going to question you and say, in a lot of cases, that they saw different.
You also have, not as much in this story, but in other stories, where folks on the north side, where you're very familiar, who feel like they're targeted, that ShotSpotter is located more in that part of town, not in other parts of town, and so we get profiled more than we should have. What do you say to that argument?
I would question that argument because I've sat in a lot of communities on community meetings on the north side, and not one individual ever talked about the fact that they didn't like ShotSpotter. Here's the thing, Chad. That gives the officers another tool that if somebody decides that they're going to call 911 or they're hesitant to call 911 or they're just so accustomed to hearing gunshots all the time and they won't call 911, ShotSpotter is going to activate and send a squad to that area where the detection may have taken place. So knowing the people that I grew up with in Minneapolis and knowing the people that I know that still live there, they don't have a problem with it.
Tony Adams is with us with the Minneapolis Police for 30-some years. He's now doing a fabulous job in charge of security for the Wolves and the Lynx. Your brother, Charlie, who I've interviewed many times, is quoted in this story, as you know. Part of what Charlie said is this: death itself has an adverse effect on black communities, noting the vast majority of the city's homicide victims each year are people of color. I would want to have the sensors on every corner if I can. Would you want ShotSpotter on every corner if it was possible, like your brother?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, look at the data, look at the information, and how many times there are shots going off either on the north side or on the south side or wherever the case may be, and they're not being reported unless you have detection from ShotSpotter. All it takes is for you to send a squad car out to that location to see, hey, do I see a person laying in the street? Do I see some potential evidence? And then you can back that up with, hey, with the city cameras that you have to say, did I see this car speeding away from the scene? Or did we get a call from a citizen saying, we saw this car leaving the scene at a high rate of speed? I would most definitely want a shot spotter detection on every corner.
Well, let's play a hypothetical. Let's say shot spotter didn't exist anywhere in the city of Minneapolis. What would happen?
Now you're going back to old school police work where you got to have a two-person unmarked car riding around with their windows down and trying to figure out if they're going into the high crime area to try to figure out where the shooting's coming from. And by the time and we used to do this back in the gang unit and narcotics unit, and by the time we can detect where the shots may have come from or a possibility, it could be too late. A life could be gone.
Tony, hang on. I want to take a short break. I want to get to other matters with Tony, including the recent raises okayed by the city council for police, his thoughts on Brian O'Hara. And if you want to send me a text, Tony's really good on the radio. You can hear this already. 30 years of experience as an officer in Minneapolis. If you have a question for Tony, I can pass it along. Always willing to take those texts. 651-461-9226 on CCO. Former Minneapolis police officer and frequent guest and longtime friend Tony Adams is back with us. It's 50 past 12. All right, Tony, you've paid close enough attention. It took a while, but we finally have a contract between the union and the city, and it does include a pretty dramatic pay increase for officers. How essential do you think is this, Tony, to not only maintain officers, but to recruit new ones?
I think it's very important, Chad, because now you can compete with your smaller agencies around here who has less deaths in their years of being able to get their highest salary. And it's going to bring you have a lot of people that would want to work in a city instead of a suburbs in most cases. But it's going to make the playing field even closer now that you've given them that type of raise.
So you know the numbers where we're at right now. We're around 500 or so. As someone who loves this city, works in this city, there are people out there who look at some of the crime numbers, which I think they've jumped some this year, but the previous couple of years they had dropped, and some people say, you know what, this quest to get more police officers, it sounds good, but we really don't need as many officers as some are suggesting. What do you think about that when people offer that up?
I would say that it's completely wrong about that, Chad. When I first came on in 1990, we had about 950 officers, and our roll call rooms were absolutely full. So back then, where if you didn't get to work ahead of time, you didn't have a portable radio to be able to go out and answer calls with, or you couldn't have a battery for a portable radio to go out and answer calls. Every district had four officers in it, and you had a day watch shift, or you had a day watch, a middle watch, a dog watch, and you had a power shift and a late power shift. So that means you had so many squad cars being able to patrol the district, it made it very simple. So we would have, our minimums would be 18 officers on a shift. Our max would be about 28. You break it down to what they're talking about now, their max time could be six officers. All it takes is one incident, yep, and those officers and that whole district is on backlog because they have nobody to answer the calls. And that's what they're facing right now today.
I agree with you 100%. Among the texts coming in, Tony, thank you, first of all, for caring. I grew up on 16th and Fremont in North Minneapolis, graduated from North, and I got out of the city right away. My wife and I have recently moved back downtown. Is that area covered? I would sign up for this on every corner of Minneapolis as possible. How can I help? He's talking about ShotSpotter. What would you say about the safety of downtown and the prevalence of ShotSpotter in downtown Minneapolis?
Yes, because just think about the fact that on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday night around bar closing, especially around some of your bars, it's very critical to have maybe a shot spotter in those locations to be able to dictate things. But the good thing about downtown is they have a fantastic camera system that can pick up a lot of activity and they're being monitored 24 hours a day. And to my fellow grad at North High School and that grew up on 16th of Fremont, so thank you for still staying in the city.
What are your impressions of Brian O'Hara from afar?
I like him. I think he's one of the very few chiefs that have come into this into his position and make some drastic change in the leadership area and promote some people of color and people that probably would have never been promoted to those positions. So I like him a lot right now. I'll like him even more because I just met with him about 2 weeks ago. If he brings back the Police Activity League, which he's very close to doing, and that I'm a board member of.
Why didn't the other chiefs make the appointments, including people of color, when O'Hara has done it?
Not sure. It'd be very interesting to be able to sit down and talk to those individuals and say, you know, you had these people. Some chat may say that they want the people that they want to pick, but in our time or over the time, we've seen a lot of good choices and we've seen a lot of bad choices.
All right, two last questions here. Why aren't you in Paris on security detail with Anthony Edwards? By the way, 23 today. Come on, how come you're not at the Olympics right now?
Well, we have young kids here that are practicing right now. So, and then we just finished NBA Summer League. So,
I could have found somebody else for you for Summer League to get you to Paris. I got to be honest.
Yeah, but you know, you think about 12 hot days in Las Vegas, it gets to be a lot. So I had to take care of it.
Tanky, Ethan, let's go. And then the most important question: how is it possible it's August 5th and we haven't played golf yet this summer?
Well, I need to work another summer league because all the money I normally have to pay you after the round is astronomical.
Yeah, get out of here. That you were quintessential sandbagger right here, Harrigan. He's like, I haven't played much. And then whatever club we're at, hey, Tony, you're back here again. You know, like they all know his name. It's like a Cheers sort of situation. All right, my friend. We'll make it happen. We'll get to Jim Pete and some others and play some golf.
All right. Appreciate you. Thank you.
He is a good man and served this city very, very well, the city of Minneapolis, for 30-plus years, my friend Tony Adams. Your Lindis Construction time check is, hey, it's 12:56. Time to invest in energy-efficient Infinity from Marvin Windows and receive free installation labor. Now, last newscast, Dave Harrigan, Susie basically said she hated my guts.
Not basically. She said that.
She said that. Will she say something like that again during the local news?
Are you planning to jump in at all?
Well, I might, just to get her going.
If you jump in, 100%.
Okay. We also have overrated, underrated, properly rated, where America will sing along with the greatest song on the planet. And by the way, if you want to chime in for overrated, you can right now. Text, what do you have? 651-461-9226 on the home of the Twins, CCO.